Turn to Philippians 4. While you turn over there, I appreciate all the special singing. And what I rejoice in is the songs are all thoughtful. They're intentional. It's not entertainment. It's not a filler. All of it's well thought out and prayed over, I can tell. And that's just a blessing. You say, well, nobody does that. They do that. There are people that just give it no thought. They just come and sing. But you pray over that, I can tell. You're concerned over that. That's a blessing. It really is. And so keep that up. Look forward to the special singing tomorrow. Did I say Philippians 4? Verse 10. Going to read through verse 14. Our text will be verse 13. I promised that last night and God did not change my mind. So Philippians 4:10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. If we look around at our society, one of the things which becomes very evident is man's dissatisfaction. Those who have everything life has to offer most often experience a void in their soul. This may lead them to drugs, alcohol, or other stimuli in an effort to find inner peace. Those who have little to nothing are usually striving to have more, and all of those in between seem to share a combination of the two. What we have is never enough, and yet what we have brings no joy. And so we search for peace, and that just continues on and on. Oh, also, let me say unto you that I don't mean to limit our discussion to possessions only. This extends to relationships, emotions and feelings, self-esteem, and other aspects of our life. So bear that in mind. But in sum, it would appear to me that there is very little contentment in our American culture. May I submit unto you above anyone else, those of us who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior ought to be content. I'm not saying that we cannot improve our situation if we can. But if we aren't careful, we will adopt the world's philosophy and try to find peace, contentment, and a sense of fulfillment in all the wrong places. Or we will respond as the world responds, as if we have no hope. My friends, if anyone should be content, a Christian should. With that in mind, I would like to share a verse which is very common. In fact, I would venture to say that this is probably one of the most quoted verses beside John 3:16. Most of us know this promise. We believe this promise. But do we really know what it means? I assess from our reading that the Apostle Paul had reached a place in his life where he was able to deal with the many and varied circumstances. And so I want to speak to you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The title of my message this morning is The Secret of Paul's Contentment. The Secret of Paul's Contentment. So let's pray. God in heaven, again, thank you for the privilege of gathering together. Thank you for these that could be with us. Our heart goes out to those that would love to be here and cannot. We pray that you have blessed them and encouraged them and healed them. Lord, we pray that as we come together in your name, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for the fellowship. And we thank you for your word. And Lord, the opportunity to gather in your name. And we just pray that everything that's said and done would be for your glory today. Speak to our hearts, draw us to you, and cause each of us who are yours to be content in you. So lead, guide, and direct us. And we do pray for those that are lost in our midst that you would give them a discontent. And Lord, we pray that you would stir their hearts and trouble their soul and bring them to Jesus Christ. Just cause us to worship you today. We love you. We honor you. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. I want to think about the secret of Paul's contentment. Now, by way of context, Paul, as he closes his epistle, encourages the church at Philippi to stand fast in the Lord, it says in verse 1. So he commits them to prayer and proper thinking. He exhorts them to do the things that they have been taught. And after which he mentions their financial support of his ministry and commends them for doing well. And that's verse 10 down through verse 20. Now in his discussion, Paul speaks to the saints, but he also speaks from a personal perspective. Our text is found within those thoughts. Notice, therefore, Paul's experience. To understand that is to understand our text, which is verse 13. If you don't understand the context, you will not get the real lesson behind our verse. And so what I'll do is we'll look at the context and look at our text. I know about halfway through you're going to go, wait, he just got done with his introduction. It kind of sounds like that, but it's all part and parcel to what I've intended, although it may sound strange to you. So let's concern ourselves, first of all, with verse 10. And note that Paul mentions their financial support. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." I see three things in this verse as he speaks about their care and concern for him, the provision for him. First of all, he rejoices in their gifts. And what a blessing it was that they would give and sacrifice and provide to help him. He says, "I rejoice greatly. You have been a provision for me, and that's been a good thing, and I rejoice in your gifts," that he says. But notice also in the middle of that verse that the latest offering again shows their care. He says, "And now at the last, your care of me has flourished again." So they've helped him in the past, they continue to help him, and that just rejoices his heart, and they've given to him once again. And then notice the last part of that verse, that they desired to do more, but they didn't always have the opportunity. He says, wherein you were careful, but you lacked opportunity. They enjoyed giving. They liked doing so. They wanted to do so, but not always did they have the opportunity to do so. Now, they did at this final point to give back unto him, and so he recognizes that, as we read within the verse. But notice that he mentions the financial support of the church at Philippi to his ministry. Look into verse 11, the first part of the verse. Paul makes it clear why he brings this subject up. "Not that I speak in respect of one." He wants to make it very clear to the people that he's writing to that, you know what, I appreciate all that you do and appreciate your gifts and your provision for me, but it's not because of me. It's not so that I can pad my wallet and carry around a bunch of gold and silver and just be prosperous. It's not that at all. He rejoices in what they've done, and he says, "Not that I speak in respect of one." Rather, what we realize, and skip down to verse 17, is that it is for their reward. Paul actually speaks that they would give unto him because that blesses them. Amen. And so verse 17, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." So, dear church, as you support others and you support missionaries and you give to special benevolent needs and things of that nature, recognize that that's what God wants you to do, and God will bless you for doing that. And Paul's just saying, you've helped me, you've given to me, and I rejoice in that, but it's not because I want more from you. Rather, I want fruit to abound to your account. God takes note of these things. And, as a matter of fact, if you'll just look into verse 18, we also recognize that it is pleasing to God that they have done so. Verse 18, he says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." Notice they're giving to him. And he says, "I've received all this," he says, "an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Your sacrifices, your gift is God-pleasing. And God is enriched in that. He rejoices in that. And so when Paul brings up this matter of the financial aid, it's not for personal gain. And so it's all about the church. It's all what God will do for the church and how God will bless the church. And so if you'll notice in verse 19, he recognizes that this even engenders a promise to them. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we'll quote that verse to people, but it really belongs to the church, and the church being faithful and the church giving and supplying. God said, I'll provide for the church, and God will take care of His own. And so we have Paul bringing up his financial support in verse 10, why he brings it up in the beginning of verse 11. And again, I just want to emphasize that Paul's priority is not himself. Rather, it is the benefit that the church receives. Yet the fact of the matter is, they did give unto him. They did help him. So glance back at verse 14. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. And so you did help. And Paul notices that, and Paul appreciates that. But focus now on Paul's view, which he learned from his experience. And that's verse 11 through verse 13. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, verse 11 says. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now let's go back and review over these verses for just a moment. And pick it up there in verse 11, and notice that he has learned from his experience. That's a good thing. For I have learned. Do you learn? You know, it seems like that we encounter individuals down through our lives, and especially when you come into ministry, sometimes it just seems like people do not learn. And I know my children, sometimes it's like, haven't you learned anything? And I look at my own life, there are times that my parents thought the same. You just can't get it, can you? And the point is that through our life, through our experiences, we ought to learn something. And so you ought to gain. I mentioned last night about looking into the Old Testament scriptures, and I made reference to what those things are written before were written for our learning, for our admonition. We can learn from other people's lives. We can learn from our own experiences. Paul learned from his experiences. I have learned, and I trust that you're learning and that you'll continue to learn. Never give up on learning. Find the practical application. When God brings those things into your life, whatever the circumstances may be, positive or negative, ask God to show you. God, what is it you're doing? What is it that I need to know? Teach me. Especially when it comes to trial and tribulation. I'm a chicken, and I just say, God, I would rather get my lesson the first time around than to get it again and again and again because I'm too dull thinking. I don't want to be stubborn. I want to get it the first time. And I know when I discipline my children, that, you know, I wanted them to get it the first time, not have to discipline them again and again for the same thing. So I'm like that with God. He taps me on the shoulder. I'd rather pick it up the first time around, wouldn't you? I have learned, Paul says. I have learned. Well, what did he learn? What's the idea? He says, I've learned how to be content. Contentment. That's what I find lacking so much in our society, is an understanding of contentment. Now, Paul states what he knows. This matter of contentment gives a description of it. So in verse 12, the first part of the verse, he knows, he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. And so what we recognize here, the Apostle Paul says, I've learned some things, and what I've learned is I know how to subsist on little, and I know how to handle abundance. You know, some people can't do that. Some people can't deal with the lack, and they cannot deal with the overflow. If you don't believe that, why is it then that all these people that win the lottery and they have all this money, more than they've always wanted that, and they finally get their wish, and they have all this money, and it just destroys them? You know why? Because they don't know how to handle it. Paul says, I know how to be abased. I know how it is to have nothing, and I know how it is to abound. And I can handle those extremities and everything in between because I've learned something as I've gone through life. And so we notice that he has learned contentment, and he expresses this contentment about, I know how to handle a little and I know how to handle a lot. And we really do need God's grace to be able to handle both and everything in between. Again, as we mentioned last night, James 1:5, seek God. Look for wisdom. If you need wisdom, ask of God. Well, at the latter part of verse 12, then he has learned how to respond. He knows some things and he knows how to respond. So he says, everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He has learned how to react. If he has a full belly, he knows how to live. If he has a hungry belly, doesn't have the food that he would like to have, then he knows how to react to that. If you don't believe it, go back to 2 Corinthians, and where he talks about his life and experiences and all the things that he went through, whether he was shipwrecked or was provided for, and he was cold and naked. And well, there's all kinds of problems that the Apostle Paul went through, and he learned through his life experience about these things, and he knew how to respond to them. Do you know how to react if you have plenty of food? Do you know how to react if you don't have anything to eat? We can learn from that. And with all the supplies that he needs, he says, I know both how to be full and to be hungry, how to abound and to suffer need. Can you do what you ought to do for Jesus Christ when everything is going well? Or can you do and live for the Lord Jesus Christ when you have to make do, when you suffer need? And the Apostle Paul expresses to this church what he has learned, why he has learned it, and what brought him to that place. And so then that brings us to verse 13, where he expresses why it is he can face these circumstances. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's how he can react to whatever the circumstances are. Good or bad, rich or poor, hungry or not, he knows how to respond. And it's because of Christ. Christ gives him what he needs. So may God's grace rest upon us that to the end and to the extent that we too would have the same foundation as the Apostle Paul expresses in the text. May Jesus Christ be our source. May He be our strength. May we find encouragement in this text. Now I've divided this first verse into four sections, verse 13. I'm going to talk about the service, the situation, the source, and the strength. See what I mean? It just sounds like I just had a big introduction and now I'm just getting to the text. But the first half was intended, the second half is intended. And so let's just concern ourselves with verse 13. The first thing I want to mention is the service. At least this is my interpretation, this is my understanding of the text. And so notice first of all in the first part of the verse he says, I can do. There's a service. Now, most often this is applied to Christian service. We think, well, I can witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I can teach Sunday school. I can preach. I can sing. I can do this. I can do that. I can read my Bible. I can pray. I can do all these things for Jesus Christ. And so I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do my service for Christ because of Him. And so we think of this mainly in the idea of what we can do. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. That is true. That is part of our life. And certainly, as Jesus expressed in John 15, He says, without Me, you can do nothing. And so we do have a total reliance upon Him. But I think there's something more than that when He says, I can do. I think it also applies to Christian duty. And what I mean by that is the ability to live. How we live in this life. Not just what we do, but who we are. How we conduct ourselves in the manner of our circumstances, whether it's a secular thing or a religious thing or a godly thing or a spiritual area. Who are we? I can do. And I submit unto you, whether it be a Christian service or a Christian duty, we need to recognize that this plugs right into verse 13. I can do. Primarily, I would just summarize it as the idea that it applies to the circumstances of life. And in saying that, I believe that means then it's everything that we consist of. It is the Christian service and it is the Christian duty. And that consists our life, doesn't it? A few thoughts emerge from this point, I believe, about I can do. Number one, we all produce activity. We all do. Whether you like it or not. Now you either do for Jesus Christ in Christian service or you don't. But in your walk, in your Christian life, as you live for God, we all do. We all have a life. And we all react to the things of life, whether it's family, whether it's church, whether it's community, whether it's the workplace. We all have that reaction. We all do. You can't escape it. Every one of us do. And all this activity that we do has its circumstances. And we're all familiar with all these circumstances, aren't we? And we look at the extremes, the very bad things and the very good things. And, well, then life also consists of so many things that's in between. Life is just that way, isn't it? All activity has its circumstances. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's indifferent. But everything that we confront in life, well, we have to confront it. Those are things that are there. We have an activity. And two things that I want to make mention in regard to this. Point number three, Paul's phrase implies ability. He says, I can. I can. There is ability. Now, we know that the ability comes from the end of the text where it's all found in Christ Jesus. The only way we can really approach life is through the power and the direction of God and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That really is our resource. And so I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but we recognize that Paul says, I can. You can. You can. You can do. Yes, you can. Paul's phrase implies ability, but then number four, Paul's phrase is personal. I can do. I can do. You say, well, that's good for everybody else, but it doesn't apply to me. That's just not true. I believe that verse 13 is a promise that you can cling on to, you can hold to, you can let it sink deep into your soul. And you can say, I can do. I can. And God can use you and God can bless you. Even in the midst of a society that just is so destructive, we can still be light and salt, as our brother made reference to last night. And so, well, we can do. We will do whether you like it or not. And so I just encourage you to notice that you do have a service. Paul had a service. He mentioned that first of all. The second thing in the text that I bring up to you is the situation. We know what his service is. We kind of have an idea of that. But notice the situation. He says, I can do all things. All things. And so this tells me that this regards any type of circumstance. If he says, I can do all things, then he can do all things. Heard a preacher years ago, tongue in cheek, say, all means all, and that's all means. He says, I can do all things. In verse 11, which we read before, he said, in whatsoever state, that's all things, isn't it? In whatsoever state. Now, what he chose to do in the text when he talks about these all things is he gives in contrast some of these examples. He says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know that. I know how to be full and I know how to be hungry. I know how to abound and I know how to suffer need. All three of those contrasts are found in the verses which we've already read. The situation that Paul talks about, he says, I can do all things. And he's already given us a list of these things. And all things means all things. Again, back in verse 12, if you look into the text, he says, everywhere and in all things. You kind of get the idea that there wasn't anything in his life that Christ cannot touch. He has learned through experience what Christ can do. Are you learning through experience what Christ can do? Now, if you've just been saved, you got a lot of learning yet to go. And well, if you've been saved for 50 years, you got a lot of learning yet to go. But you want to learn, you want to grow, and hopefully you're not what you used to be. We talked the other night about babies, and we ought to be mature, when we ought to be teachers. And so we know in the text that all things means all things. And he says, I can do all things. And so he references his service and he speaks about his situation. And this applies to his Christian service. This applies to his Christian duty. And so this certainly applies to his Christian living, the daily activities of life. I mean, the fact of the matter is, we're not always in the service of Jesus Christ in that regard. When you run down to the store, you're going down to shop. Now, you might use that as an opportunity to be a witness to the cashier or something like, well, it's hard to witness the cashiers anymore because it's all you scan. But you can still witness to people and be a share and a testimony. But the fact is, our life consists of a lot of mundane things. It's just part of life. You say, well, that's not the right... It is. That's the way God intended. Life is life. And we have experiences all the time. It's daily Christian living. And so you have to go to work. And, well, I'm privileged to be able to work in the service of the Lord as a pastor. I also work a secular job. So I have that opportunity as well. But you know, every one of you have to mow your yard and rake your leaves and empty the trash. And I don't know that you're singing hallelujah to God when you're carrying out the garbage. You can if you wish, but most of us are just, it's just mundane things and activities of life. But it's necessary. And what I say unto you is what Paul is saying unto us, and I think it's an encouragement. I can do all things. It applies to all things. And so what this tells me is that there is no area that Jesus cannot affect. Jesus can impact every aspect of my life, even those mundane things of taking out the garbage or mowing the yard or pulling weeds out of the flower bed. That's the situation. Paul says, I can do all things. Point number three. Notice the source. I can do all things through Christ. All that which He has expressed, how is He able to do all these things? How is it that He has learned these things? It's because it's what Christ has done and what Christ has taught Him and the experience where He's in great need and God comes to His rescue. Now He's logged that away, man. He's got that as a foundation. So if something similar to that comes up, He can go back, flip through the file, and oh yeah, that's happened before. And He took care of me then. He can take care of me now. This is what He did back then. This is what He'll do now. And He can react that way. Can you trust God and His promises like that? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, He says. And I think that's true for you and I think that's true for me. I can do all things, the source, through Christ. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Paul's reliance is upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not very far from the book of Galatians, are you? Go back to Galatians and look at chapter 2. Thought about just quoting it to you, but you might as well look at it. We're so close. It doesn't take much to turn there. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul said he can do all things through Christ. This is what he said to the Galatians in 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I can do all things through Christ. Isn't that tremendous? It's not me, but it's Christ through me. Go back a few more pages. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 10. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Go back to our text and notice what he said. Recognize that. It's all Christ. So he says, I can do all things through Christ. Now jump over to Hebrews 4, if you would. We saw the verse last night, but we're going to see it again. Paul's source is Jesus Christ. Your source must be Jesus Christ. Paul relied upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his source for the grace that he needed that we've already referenced in even 1 Corinthians 15 is found in Jesus Christ. Very clearly, Hebrews 4:16. He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What do you do when it's difficult? What do you do when it's hard? When you need grace and mercy, which you need grace and mercy even in the prosperity times, because that will destroy us quicker than anything.
Amen.
But what do? You turn to God for grace. Cry out for mercy. I can do all things through Christ. So if you haven't understood what it is to be hungry Well, when you get to be hungry and you don't have anything to eat and you don't know where your next meal is coming from, you're going to be, I trust, turning to God, saying, God, I don't know where my food's coming from next. You say, well, in our abundant society, that doesn't necessarily happen. There are people that have food issues all the time. You're just not one of them. Aren't you glad God's provided for you? But with the way our society is and the way the future's coming along, I'll tell you, there's a risk that I think they're planning a food shortage. I think the world governments are doing that in order to control and manipulate. I think all that's part and parcel to the development of the end times. I don't call that conspiracy theory. I think that's just common sense to see how the devil's going to take control of the world. I think we got it. I'll just, for just a second. We saw a little bit of that in the pandemic. Amen. So don't miss the lessons you saw there. They know what they're doing. But our grace is found in Jesus Christ. And our source is found in Him. And so you need grace, turn to God for grace. Cry out for mercy. And whether you are full or hungry, whether you are abased or abound, keep turning to Jesus. He's always our dependence. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would, Paul's source is the Lord Jesus Christ. He relied upon the Lord. His source of grace was when the Lord Himself. But 2 Corinthians 4:7 reminds us that His power is found in God. Just note the verse. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. God chose to save us as human beings. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So God demonstrates on a regular basis that He's the one on the throne and He's the one in control and that we can't do it because we have such weak earthen vessels. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So Paul found his source of grace and the power in God. And really all we need is found in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Everything that we need is found in Jesus Christ. We're saved through Jesus Christ. We live Christian lives through Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? I think that you do, but go back to Romans 7. God saved us. And God gives us what we need to live for Him. So Paul stated in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way that we can live for Jesus Christ is through the power of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21. Hebrews 13, 21. The author wrote and said that God would make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And go back to Philippians 4. So what you recognize is that God works in us for God's honor and for God's glory, that Christ would be praised in our lives. And so we point to Jesus. And I point you to Jesus. Because Jesus receives the honor and the glory from that. All that we need is found in Jesus Christ. This matter of salvation, this matter of living for Him. And we are certainly able to trust God in our present circumstances, can we not? In Philippians chapter 4, I invited you to turn back there prior to our text. It says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. No matter what life brings, God can keep your heart. He can give you peace. You can find contentment in all of that. And you know, even the, and I'm going to look in Ephesians 2 for one verse, even our future is dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. even our future. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, he says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He works in us now, and he's going to work through us in the future. He's going to make us in his image. I look forward to that day.
Amen.
Get away from this flesh. But we think about our text, and I said that there are four things. And we mentioned the service of that Paul expresses. He says, I can do. Mentioned the situation, I can do all things. And then I mentioned the source. He says, I can do all things through Christ. Point number four, the last part of the text, and notice the strength. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Did Christ give him strength? Well, for example, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. How does that happen? Because God worked in his life through his experiences. Example, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. You ever have anybody stand against you in your service for the Lord? The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom beware thou also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He said, this is a very difficult time. I had to go it alone. But God did not leave me alone. He never left me nor forsake me. God gave me the strength that I needed to stand up against that evil person. He had an experience with Alexander, and God gave him strength. So now he writes to the church of Philippi, and he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the familiar passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7, very familiar passage, I'm sure you're aware of it. And he says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He didn't like it, he wanted to get rid of it. Sought God three times about it. And he said unto me, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul concludes, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. How could he do that? Because he learned. He learned. I'm going to make a reference to Isaiah chapter 40. You're welcome to turn there if you wish, but Isaiah chapter 40. Paul didn't write this, but still a lesson as I come to my finish. Isaiah chapter 40, I remind you, dear Christian friend, verse 29 through verse 31. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Is that true? It is. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Paul knew the Old Testament scriptures. I wonder if he thought about those things when he needed strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And he wrote to the Thessalonians. He says, faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Let me offer you in closing. Every aspect of life will have its circumstances. It will. It's just the way it is. And our response to our circumstances is crucial. I mentioned that last night in regard to private pain that I might go through. How I react and respond, it makes a difference. Now, I want to respond well. You want to respond well. I know that you do. And so with all these circumstances, our response is crucial. Will we respond in faith or in doubt? Will we respond with courage or in fear? Will we respond in a good manner or in a bad manner? Will we honor God or will we dishonor Him by our response? Will we praise Him or will we be full of complaint? Will we respond with confidence in God or with self-reliance? I can do. We're doing it all over the place, but how are you going to fill out the rest of the verse? I can do it because I just mustered up the ability and the strength. Boy, that's a dead end right there. I want to claim the Apostle Paul's statement, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I believe we find in the text that Paul talked about contentment, and Paul learned how to be content. I just submit unto you, we should learn that. Take all of our experiences and what God's doing in our lives and learn to be content. And of course, his secret for that contentment was the true source. And the true source was Jesus Christ. So may we rely upon the same source, our Jesus, and may we learn to be content. And may God work in our hearts to find contentment in Him.